Welcome to Nintendo Dads, episode 174, recorded on April 5th, 2018. On tonight's episode, we're going to discuss the Spyro remaster listed by Nintendo UK. Is it real or is it vaporware? Rocket League Switch has a mysterious prompt related to your Nintendo account, and Toys R Us might be coming back. All this and so much more. Zach, cue that music.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to another episode of the Nintendo Dads Podcast. My name is Zach Erickson, and tonight is April 5th, 2018. Joining me tonight from the land of the high mountain. I don't know what that means, Jesse Waldeck. What's going on, Jesse?
Yeah, there's no mountains around here. But I must say that, you know, I am really exhausted today. Yeah, we recorded Retro Rewind last night, in which surprisingly went longer than I thought. We recorded for like 75 minutes. But I had to get up early tomorrow this morning to drive back to work, and then had to do something this afternoon or this after work that you guys haven't had to deal with yet.
That's true. I don't know.
Youngest daughter went prom dress shopping.
What?
It took her like 3 hours to find something that she could afford that she liked, and I just sat in the mall chair, just kind of twiddling my thumbs. I played my Switch up until it died, and then. and then we're recording again. So,
wow, yeah, that's a little rough. I don't know. You know what? Speaking of longer than expected, joining us as well from the land of the south, Marty Estes. What's going on, Marty?
Well, Jesse may have spent his evening sitting on a bench in the mall, whereas I spent my evening trying to consume as much buffet pizza as I possibly could.
Is this like...
Which is an action that I now regret wholeheartedly.
Oh, man.
And full stomachly.
Yeah. Just wait until later, dude. That's...
Oh, yeah. In about 12 hours, it's going to be...
Yeah. Yeah, I hope.
I don't even have words to describe what's going to happen.
Yeah, you know what? For a completely unrelated reason, I remember a time that my friend threw a firecracker in the toilet, and it blew the bottom out of the toilet. And just like it didn't hold water anymore, you know. And there's like the whole system that basically the water is also preventing the sewage gases from leaking into your house and just making your whole house smell bad.
Yeah.
Yeah, we figured that out. That was a terrible, terrible lesson. So,
yep.
Anyways,
all that from a firecracker.
I know, dude. And just look forward to that when you get the other end of that pizza. That's what you got to look forward to. So, all right. Well, everybody, we've got some stuff to do with the show tonight, and we're looking forward to it. So we are going to get right into this.
Do it.
I'm using a different soundboard app, and I got to get used to it. It doesn't play more than one sound at a time, but it works on this other new tablet that I have. So anyways, that's behind the scenes, folks. So the news, of course, is brought to you by Patreon.com.
Patreon.
Yeah, there you go. You do it.
Patreon.com. We don't know what we're doing anymore. It's brought to you by us over at Patreon.com. And like we do every week, we just want to say thanks to all of our awesome patrons. And we've got some news that you want to stick around for at the end of this show relating to our newest Retro Rewind. We're going to tell you what two games you're going to get to vote on starting tomorrow to pick what we get to play next.
Yeah, dude.
JRPGs.
There are no JRPGs this time. I'm sorry.
Thank goodness.
But let me tell you this. One of these games is quite possibly in my top 10 games of all time.
What?
I'm super excited about it. And while I'm super excited about it, let me also say that I am super excited too. And we mentioned this on the show last week, but I'm just going to throw it in there.
I'm super excited about it.
Deontay Hancock.
I'm super excited about it.
And while started backing us in the middle of the show last week, And we stopped and was like, breaking news. But we want to say thanks to him again. And thanks to all of our patrons for making this show and Retro Rewind and all the other things we do possible. We couldn't do it without you. We love you. You're awesome. Don't forget that.
Absolutely. And that is the thing that, keeps me coming back to doing this. You know, I think that everybody kind of has like an ebbing and flowing kind of relationship with things. And things have been super crazy, I guess I should say, too. You know, I haven't been. And moving forward, I'm not as, you know, I'm not going to be on every show. I think Justin hasn't been on every show for a while, and everybody kind of takes a break. But it's the community, I think, that brings us all back in the end. And so I really appreciate all of the patrons, and you guys are amazing. So keep being awesome. All right. News going on right now. What is what's the scoop here? We got some news. I had a tab with. Here we go. Wow. Okay.
See, I'm not Philly one of those.
I haven't done this.
I lost it like three times last night.
Yeah. So hey, you know what's really exciting is a compilation of a bunch of games that comes to your console. That's pretty exciting. And Spyro Remastered was announced this week, and it's not coming to the Switch, which is weird.
Well,
or we don't know.
Now we don't know that
it wasn't announced for the Switch.
It was not announced for the Switch
by the However, company, at least. Yeah, sorry,
right.
Go ahead.
Not by Activision.
Right.
But and the Nintendo UK store slipped up earlier today and put up a listing for Spyro Remastered for the Nintendo Switch. And it wasn't just a placeholder. The only thing it lacked was box art.
Okay.
Because they provided the description and everything.
What was the description? Was it just the same as that it would have been on anything else?
Spyro's back and he's all scaled up. The original Roastmaster is back. Blah, 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 blah. And then it listed the three games and kind of a synopsis for each of those three games, as well as a price of €39.99.
That is so weird that it's
39.99 pounds. I'm not sure.
Is that like the standard price?
There is a significant difference.
Yeah, I know there is. And somebody's going to call me out on it, and I'm just going to say okay.
Give him the bird, dude. It's fine. So if that's the,
I'm sorry if I messed up the money. I'm just an old American sitting over here.
You got to worry about your own. I don't know.
I can't even count my own money.
Yeah, there you go.
Like, I don't even know. Yeah.
But I do. Yeah.
Out of the wallet too fast.
I think that, I think what's interesting, like, I'm trying to think of what are the different scenarios in which this happens. Either somebody sees the announcement that Spyro's coming and is so excited and is so gung-ho, he's like, I'm going to be just on top of the ball and I'm going to go and put this up here because I'm going to show my boss that I am, you know, I am Johnny on the spot and going to take the initiative and put this listing up and, oh, wait a minute. No, it's not coming to our platform. That's one possibility. Or the other one is that this actually is coming and it's just not announced by the publisher.
And yeah. And somebody just made a huge freaking mistake.
And yeah. And I don't understand, like, if that's the case, what is the benefit of waiting to give the announcement for that? Like, who's the publisher?
And that's what that's what I say surrounding every release that has come out.
Right.
That, you know, eventually we say like, oh, it might come to the Switch. Like Crash Bandicoot. I mean, right. Obviously that was not in the original plan, right? This is, now the Switch is doing well. So we'll do Crash Bandicoot for it. Right.
Right.
But why at this point wait and not talk about Spyro? I mean, if it's coming, other than the fact that Nintendo would want to hold it back for E3, but guys, let's be honest here. I know there were a lot of people who were like, yeah, Spyro's coming back. Really?
Nobody cares about Spyro. I'm just going to put it out
there. Like, is this an announcement that will save E3?
You know what? Here's the thing is that, and that I wonder about Spyro specifically is maybe for people who had a PS1, right? Like who played these original games, that they will be excited for it. But new kids, I hate to tell you, but Spyro is Skylanders, and Skylanders is not like that. Is what they launched that entire platform with, and that is
Spyro's Adventure.
Yeah, and that, and regardless of if he was in the later games, he was part of that series, right? And so this is not some like wonderful return, because Skylanders burnt out until it was nothing more than a wet fart in a blanket sort of a deal, right? Like, it was not exciting at all anymore. So I don't
really
understand
enjoy that euphemism.
Yeah, they're pretty good.
That's almost like one of mine. You know,
oh, gosh. Almost like what's going to happen in 12 hours.
Like,
that's right. Yeah, a wet fart in a blanket. Yeah, oh, it's not very wet.
Yeah, Marty's going to be like, I don't know about 12 hours, but he's just going to like that sort of good old wake up fart that he's going to be.
That was the timeline he gave earlier.
To borrow a phrase from my grandma, Skylanders in the end went over like a lead balloon.
Yeah, exactly. Well, and I think that they were so, and there, you know, there's a thing in the Tim in the chat is saying they're holding back for Amiibo/Smash tie-in. If Spyro is in Smash, then like we have sunk to a new low here. You know what I mean? I don't know. And I'm not putting down if people like Spyro, that's fine, but it is not a big, it is not an A-tier sort of brand, and so I'm not super excited or worried about it.
Like, there's a lot of series that I have tons of nostalgia for because I grew up playing them, NES, SNES, even PlayStation, Final Fantasy VII, huge nostalgia for. I have never played a Spyro game, mm-hmm. and it's not because I couldn't find it to play. It's because I looked at it and went, I don't know. It's the same way with Crash. I never played Crash until my son picked up the PS4 version. And I don't know what the developers were thinking when they did that, but like your jumping in that game has to be so precise.
Yeah.
That he's stuck on like the fourth level of the first game.
Yeah, that I don't know if all the levels are like this, but you have to jump in the screen and out of the screen. Which, you know, up until the 3DS launched, you know, there was a quote by Miyamoto saying, that's just rule number one in platformers. You don't do that.
Yeah. Yeah, there are several levels in that game where you're either running toward the screen or running away from it, and you have to make jumps, and they're tough.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I never owned a PS1, so I missed this whole era.
Crash is a one-hit wonder. You know, like he dies if he gets hit. So, and there's lots of things that can cause him damage.
Yeah.
But that's neither here nor there. Here's what I think about this. Here's where I'm going to come down on this whole Spyro thing. This is real. And somebody probably either got fired or lost their job over this.
I don't understand motivation.
Well, that's what, as soon as I said it, I was like, I said the same thing. They either got close to losing their job or they got fired.
Mm. So don't understand the benefit of waiting on this announcement, though. Like, if they're going to announce it for everything else, when is it coming out on the other platforms? I guess that's an important question.
I think it's like late September. I don't know. Let me look it up.
So it's like far enough away that they'd have time to do it. In other words.
Oh, sure. Sure. Yeah. Like September 21st.
Hmm.
So yeah. You've got like.
So a few weeks after Spider-Man. So yeah.
Honestly.
Good, nice place to put a game.
You've got Crash.
Oh man, that's Spider-Man
Insane
game.
Insane Trilogy coming out in July. Then you could follow that up with Spyro in September.
Mm-hmm.
And this is what, like, this is where. Like, I get that Nintendo likes to do the directs, and I get that Nintendo likes to make their own announcements and do it in their way. But if this is why they're holding it back so that Nintendo can drop this news, that is asinine.
Yeah.
It plays tone deaf in a major way, because it would have been a huge win today for Activision to stand up there and say every major system. Yeah. Right?
Yeah.
Every major system, like all of it, Xbox One. Because look, now we're getting into like PlayStation 3, PlayStation 4 territory. Like in that era,
mm-hmm.
you know, where they were still trying to support the 3 and the 4, because like it's coming out on PS4, PS4 Pro, Xbox One, Xbox One X.
Mm-hmm.
But here's the thing: it's also not coming out on PC. But
Is Activision, like, what is Activision published on the Switch so far? Like, is this an Activision in general thing? I guess I don't really know.
I want to say that Spyro might be the first. I mean, Crash might be the first.
Maybe they're just slow and dumb. I don't know.
Well, I mean, if this was one of those things where it was started, you know, way ahead of time. Mm-hmm. Like if they've been working on Spyro for a while and they've been doing it in the framework of the PS4 and the Xbox, and then they had to put Switch on top of that, then I guess I can kind of get it. But after here's the only thing that has come out on Nintendo Switch so far from Activision is Skylanders Imaginators.
Mm-hmm.
But here's what I don't understand. What I don't understand about this is when this announcement about Dragon Quest XI left people so sour last week when they were like, yeah, it's coming to the Switch, but way later.
Yeah.
Right? Why would they not release the info that's coming to the Switch with everything else if it is?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. I don't know, man. This is, it's an interesting, I don't know.
Because, like, again, this is not going to move the needle if it's announced during E3. Like, no, during the digital event, people are just going to go, oh, yeah, we knew that was coming.
It's going to be so buried.
Move on. Yeah. Move on. I want to see Smash.
The Crash Bandicoot trilogy is also Activision. So, two games.
Mm-hmm.
One that's actually here and one that for all intents and purposes, I'll believe it when I see it on a retail shelf. Right? I know they say it's coming, but... Mm-hmm.
Yeah, Santiago in chat says wasn't Skylanders on Switch, and then Chris White says Skylanders doesn't count.
Yeah, Skylanders
does count, but only because it's the only thing they've published.
That was the last Skylanders game, right?
It was. Yeah, it was the very last Skylanders game, and that was available day one on Switch.
Yeah,
but they haven't done anything since then, and I would dare say.
Oh, hang on. What happened?
It cost them to make that game on Switch.
There we go. Sorry. You cut out there for a second.
Oh, I was saying that I would dare say that Activision has not made what they put into to port that game to Switch.
Mm-hmm.
Did they make the money on any system?
I think that they still made a fair bit of money on Skylanders, but I think they were smart to pause it when they did.
I think so, too.
And yeah. I doubt we'll ever see it again. But
no, I think maybe they'll come back. They'll have some retro sort of, there'll be some nostalgia push for people who are nostalgic for Skylanders, which is weird to think.
Well, you know, I mean, it's like our kids. I mean, maybe not yours, but my son, he's about to turn 11 next week. And like many, many Christmases and birthdays were filled with Skylanders for him, you know, new games or new figures or stuff. And so, I mean, I could see him being nostalgic about that later on.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely. But
even he didn't really care about this last game. I don't think he even finished it.
We only got one Skylanders game, and we got him. I don't know how we ended up talking about Skylanders, but we got the one that had the Donkey Kong.
That was Superchargers.
Yeah, we got that, and we didn't even play through the whole thing of that. We kind of, because I was like, it was not great. Anyway, so that is that's Spyro Remastered. We'll see if it comes.
Maybe coming to the Switch.
This other one here, this other thing in our list, Rocket League Switch now has a prompt to connect to your Nintendo account to Switch, or to connect your Nintendo account to Switch, but it doesn't work. This is likely a hint of things to come. I don't know why this would have been approved. That's the weird thing for me is like, how did this get approved?
This is kind of weird.
So
the Rocket League's Tournament Edition update went live this week.
Mm-hmm.
And it brought a ton of improvements to the Switch and brought some new, all kinds of new stuff. But one of the things that people noticed immediately was that there was a prompt to connect your Nintendo account to Twitch. And when you went in to do that, it does not work. But right. That option is still there.
So you can sign up. I should try this right now, actually. I can.
Yeah. So when you go to do this, it brings up an error screen. And this is the exact wording. And this is interesting to me. It says this: authentication has failed with the Nintendo Switch Online Service servers. Please try logging in again later. It specifically does not say Nintendo account. It specifically uses the name of the service that's launching in September. Nintendo Switch Online Service. All four of those words are capitalized. So it's referring to the actual service. So in other words, the framework is already there to authenticate with this new online service and connect it to an outlying streaming service. So the speculation that I've seen is kind of twofold. Either you're going to be able to link your Switch to your Twitch account, you know, and maybe upload your 30-second gameplay videos, right?
Mm-hmm.
Or this is full-on streaming and it's Nintendo saying, okay, we get it. We're going to play nice with Twitch.
Yeah, I think it's...
I'm hoping that that's what it is.
My guess is going to be that it's... I think that they would be smart to have... I'm trying to pick my words here. I think that they would be smart to have an integration with Twitch just in general, right? But I don't know. I'm also skeptical at the same time. You know, like we've seen rumors online of like, oh, Twitch streaming is coming or Twitch stuff integration right into the Switch. And I'm just like, okay, well, how does that become a thing? I don't know. I would like it to happen. I don't know if it will, but I don't know. Yeah, I think it would be cool. So what do you guys think? Would you stream to Twitch if you could? Like, I don't know.
I would love to.
The thing is that might be a snag in this is the fun thing called the Nintendo Creators Program is still a thing.
But it's not on Twitch though, right? Like they don't have their fingers
yet.
Fair enough. Yeah.
Here's my thing. Why would they even allow this? If it was like, what is the point of connecting your Switch and your Nintendo account to your Twitch account if you're not going to stream?
Yeah. No, that's a good point.
Like, there is zero benefit in this, especially for a game like Rocket League.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe it's to watch, like, even if it was to watch videos from Twitch of other people playing the game, that's still further and more advanced than what they're allowing now.
I wonder if part of it too, though, is more of a look at, you know, because if you are a Twitch Prime member, for example, I know Blizzard Games, if you're connected to Twitch Prime, then you get free bonuses in, like, you'll get free packs in Hearthstone or whatever, right?
Right.
Like, I wonder if that maybe is more what this is for, is that you connect your Rocket League account to Twitch and then and that way you're able to get the Twitch bonuses into your Switch version of the game. That would be my guess. But I don't know for sure. So I don't know.
I can see that, but again, why?
Yeah.
Why specifically link it to a video streaming service, a service that people know is almost explicitly a video streaming service for video games?
Mm-hmm.
It just doesn't make sense. Of course, again, we're talking about Nintendo, and a lot of times they do things that doesn't make sense. But I did see an interview this week, and I believe it was on MyNintendoNews.com that kind of just summed things up, that Reggie Fils-Aimé was interviewed this week and was talking about different things. And one of the things that he mentioned in this interview, which he did not expound on at all, but it's kind of ironic that it happened in the same week, was that he again said later on this year, Nintendo will provide, and these are his words, a robust online experience with the Nintendo Switch. So
we'll
in
see,
today's
Reggie.
Time, let's think about this. In today's time, what is robust when it comes to online?
Online chat, a party system,
the ability to stream your video.
Yeah, stream video.
Doing what everyone else does and has been for years.
Yeah. And
when I think about it, honestly, I think about how easy it is for me to stream any content whatsoever for my PlayStation 4 if I want to do that. Literally by pressing a button on the controller, right? And Nintendo has that set up. Like, that, you know, they have that set up with that record photo button on the left Joy-Con, and they just have to pull the switch. Like they just have to make the connections. And I'm really, really hoping. Like, y'all have been thinking about this a lot, and I know Smash is what people expect to see at E3, and I know that over the last two E3s we've been conditioned to think that E3 is going to be all about one big game, you know, first with Breath of the Wild, second with Odyssey, building New Donk City and having all this stuff, or building the world of Breath of the Wild and having all these set pieces, the giant guardian and all that stuff. What if E3 this year, what if the big thing is Nintendo Online and firmware 6.0 for the Switch opens up?
I don't think so, because they have pretty consistently, I think what they don't want to do, and other companies have tried this before, where they have tried to make it more about what, you know, about like multimedia services and all that kind of stuff. And I think there has been I don't think I've ever seen it go well. You know, I think
Microsoft crashed and burned when they do that.
Backlash. Yeah,
my favorite is a montage of every time someone said sports in the Microsoft event.
And I get that, like, but I feel like their push for that was, we're going to make shows and it's going to be a home theater system and it's going to do that. I don't think Nintendo would be doing that at all. I think it would be a complete renovation of the Switch UI from ground up, including a couple of multimedia services like, hey, Netflix and those things that you've asked for. But the big thing would then cut away to online.
Because the primary consumers in their eyes is the Japanese audience, which is playing at home less and less every year, which is why we have a handheld system that works that you can play on the TV.
But they have the ability to have connectivity a lot of almost everywhere they go for online stuff.
But the point is, they don't care about watching movies on it. That's not what they want to do.
No, they want to play games. You're right.
They want to play games.
But I would say, and I know we're kind of getting a little off topic here, but I would say that to ignore that push for other media, when people are asking for that, when Hulu is already available as well, and we know that that's viable and we know that that can happen, I think it's, again, I use a phrase I used earlier, tone deaf. They're not just a Japanese market, and they have to think about American sensibilities and other country sensibilities as well. And, you've provided two generations of systems that have pretty swiftly been, had YouTube and Netflix and everything else available. And so I'm really, really hoping for those at E3. I'm hoping we see those. I'm hoping they finally just kind of nail it down and make that a thing. But, I'm probably wrong, and it's going to be Smash. And it's going to be like a giant ring set up in the middle of their E3 booth.
Yeah.
Well, I agree with you. I want those things too. Yeah, it's not going to be – I don't think it'll be the E3 focus. If it is mentioned at all, it'll be kind of on a side note with Smash taking the spot.
Yeah, I don't know if – I agree that that's something that I want them to – I think what I think maybe a better way of doing it would be is to have them, cover them in. Sorry, I just had a total brain fart. To have them cover them in like a pre-show direct, if that makes sense, like a something like that.
Well, we know that they're going to talk about it in relation to Smash, right?
Yeah.
I mean,
yeah, that's going to be it's
going to be the game that drives the Switch Online service in the beginning.
Yeah,
but
probably the console life.
Oh, totally. Yeah. So,
okay. I'm talking about the drive to switch over.
Right.
Yeah.
From okay, it's been free. Why do I need to buy it? Oh, I can play Smash Online. Great.
And you know what? That Smash game. I mean, just what I'm thinking too is like that game needs to be freaking amazing, or it's that like not that it's not going to be, but like there's so many people that are waiting for that now that it's just kind of a I can't foresee this not being a big deal with that, because and I think I've said it before, but the idea of that it's going to be everything is going to be weighed on it. The more I think about it, the more I think that this is the only real big game. Maybe one other big game, but I don't know if there's anything that we don't know about yet that is unannounced for the holiday season. Maybe there is. Who knows? I could be wrong. I've been wrong before.
The Pokemon is still a maybe. We don't know if that's 2019 yet.
Right.
But yeah. I think that might be the second biggest game that is possible.
I think that we'll also, during E3, we'll get another teaser for Metroid Prime 4.
Oh, we better, dude. Balls, man.
We'll get maybe a little bit of cinematic footage or maybe just a snippet of gameplay, but they're not going to give us much. They'll be like, and we'll talk about that more in 2019.
Yeah.
But we want to remind you that we're working on it. And I'm going to totally call Yoshi is going to be a 2018 game. Mm-hmm.
But yeah, you think so? Yeah. Oh, it better. Yeah, it better be.
It's gonna be.
They announced that one really early, but I think that it's gonna end up not being as big of a deal as I think everybody was expecting. Like they made it a big deal, but Yoshi games generally are not huge.
It was a huge deal on the Wii U because we needed a game.
They're like a B tier game, right?
And then Woolly World was amazing, and I'm not gonna deny that. It was a fantastic game.
Yeah, right on.
So I'm gonna throw one other top news item in here. I think Chicken Wiggle.
That's right.
Funded this week, and I know Chicken Wiggle has kind of become, in some ways, like a little meme among Nintendo fans. But I'm super excited this game funded, just because I think Jules is awesome and. We appreciate him here around the Nintendo Dad's headquarters.
They were getting close to the first stretch goal. Did they hit
they
that?
Did, they oh. made it. They got the Kirk Hope orchestral soundtrack.
There was two. I think they got the second one too, didn't they? I want to say they did.
Let's go check. I'm glad. Yeah. But like, here's the thing. I wanted this to fund basically because I have it on my 3DS and I love the updated art style on this game. I think it looks freaking incredible. And I'm super excited. Here's what I want to know, though, and I wish that we could have Jules on to talk about this. Surely, like, I've seen this game. I know that, like, I know it's like basically bringing the 3DS game over and laying a new soundtrack and art on top of it. Surely this is not going to take till Christmas to get out.
What's the expected delivery date?
The estimated delivery is December 8, 2018.
Yeah. Okay, never mind. So I was looking at this thing, and the 3,000 was the initial funding goal. 35 was the orchestral soundtrack. And then 40 grand was the new unlockable FUN towers.
Yeah.
So
have you played Chicken Wiggle?
No.
Okay, so in each level, there's these like three little collectibles that spell out fun.
Uh-huh.
And so those would have been I guess if you found all of them. Mm-hmm. Yep. Collect all the fun letters and unlock special new towers or new levels. That would have been cool, except for the fact that, hey, we can make our own levels in this game.
Yeah.
But, yeah, I was kind of worried that it was not going to fund. And then people pushed through in the last little bit and then even got us up to the.
Is it done now? Is it?
Yes, it is done. It's funded.
Okay, cool.
It ended.
I think it must have ended today or yesterday. Yeah.
Yesterday or today.
Yeah. So
it was either yesterday or today. That's right.
I did back it though. I did back it.
Let me see. Here's an update. Yeah. Let's see when these updates came out. April 5th. No, it ended today.
Yeah.
With a final count of 35,600 something.
Yeah, 35,634.
So Jules, I'm looking forward to playing this game.
Mm-hmm. All right. Cool. Any other news or anything, guys?
I think the only other option was the one that Jesse mentioned.
Oh yeah, the Toys R Us thing. Just a little update for Toys R Us, everybody. Little sad thing for. Do I have a sad thing for Toys R Us? Where's my soundboard here?
Stupid kids.
Okay, there you go.
Love it.
Yeah, there we go. Jesse, what's our Toys R Us?
All right, so if you have any Toys R Us gift cards lying around, better use them soon because they expire on the 21st. Mm. And apparently, the article I read said they've already taken down the online store, so your only option is to use them in a store.
You cannot buy anything online. It's the saddest.
Oh, you guys. Sense. What the heck is that about, man?
If you go to ToysRUs.com right now, this is the message you get. I'm pulling it up right now. It says, thanks for visiting. We have shut down the website for any purchases, but our brick and mortar stores are open and holding going out of business sales. Mm. You can keep up to date with the sale at ToysRUsClosingSale.com. We encourage you to stop by your local store and take full advantage of the deep discounts and deals available. Thank you for your business and support over the years. Mm. Sincerely, Toys R Us and Babies R Us teams.
Babies R Us.
That is so sad. And you can go in here and you can browse. Yeah. You can still see the things that should be in stock. Mm-hmm. But man,
that's
how sad.
Yeah. You know, I remember so many, I know I do say I'm not necessarily, I am both sad and not sad. You know, it's like the kind of sad that is, I don't know. It's like that sort of like I have a lot of great memories. Like I have nostalgia for Toys R Us, I guess. And I should say too, like there is a Toys R Us here in Canada. They're not actually closing yet. So, I do think that I don't know. It is what it is, I guess. Maybe I'm just more, I don't know. Apathetic. Heartless. I don't know what you want to call it. It's a sad day. But yeah, I don't know. It is sad.
In the article that I saw that on, in the comments, someone mentioned that there was a GoFundMe campaign to try to save Toys R Us, which is going to be highly unlikely. And the page just says it's asking for $1 billion. I feel like I should be putting my pinky up to my mouth.
$1 billion? What? Yeah.
Is the person who started the GoFundMe, is his name Dr. Evil?
No, but apparently the person who did start it, actually, he is his own highest backer, putting up a fifth of the money himself.
Yeah.
So at least if it doesn't work, he's not out his own money because he receives his own money back.
And
but everyone else.
Well, that's the thing, right? Is that like if he gets it, you put in that money, right? He puts in that money. If it works, cool, right? Sweet sassy molasses. It worked, right? Like, I mean, I don't know. But if it didn't, then big deal, whatever. It's done.
But of course, just raising $1 billion alone isn't going to magically save it. It's,
oh, exactly, right? Like, it's...
At least the guy's got some capital put together to actually get some people talking.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know enough about this freaking nonsense. I don't know. Anyway, having said all of that...
As I said before the show, it's all well and good if they bring it back. But if they bring it back with the same business practices, then they've done nothing.
You know what? Here's the thing, is don't put the freaking, like, it, let the old man die. Oh, my Lanta, let him die, because otherwise, I'm on a roll tonight with all these weird sayings. It's like, don't bring him back just so that you're going to put him on life support. You know what I mean? Like, do not resuscitate. This is, I don't know.
Well, if all these people cared about Toys R Us so much, they should have been out spending their money in the stores.
Yeah. Oh, exactly.
It's kind of like my kids, you know, like, their dog dies, and then all of a sudden it's like, oh, we love the dog. We love the dog. No, you didn't.
That dog was.
Yes, we did. We love the dog. Well, did you play with it at all outside? No. Did you feed it? Did you feed it, or did mommy and daddy feed it? Well, no. Did you give it water? No. Well, then you didn't love your dog.
Yeah. The dog loved you. It's right? Like, oh, it would come and love on you.
Toys R Us. We don't want Toys R Us to go anywhere. Well, go spend some money at Toys R Us when they're still alive. And, you know, it was funny to me that, like, the clearance sales, like, the liquidation thing came up. Mm-hmm. And, like, all of a sudden, the vultures started circling, right?
Yeah.
It was like people were lining up outside Toys R Us.
Only to find 50,000 Tom Nooks.
Yep. You know what? I'm going to tell you, when those stores are there and they're empty, there's just empty shelves. No electricity and peg after peg of Tom Nook. That's all that's going to be there.
I know, right? Well, and it's just like, it's just crazy. You're right. It's totally vultures. It's like people coming in and just spending their money. Like holy moly, how can you possibly have any sort of? Yeah, you're right. It's just like the reality of the situation is, and we do need to maybe get on some other things. But like, I think really what happened was between Amazon. And I think part of the reason why Toys R Us isn't doing as poorly up here is because there are less what I would call like a one-stop shop sort of big box store, like a Walmart, Target, you know, like all those sorts of things that have a toy section. Like, we have Walmart up here, but we don't have Target. We used to have a place called Zellers that then was kind of bought up by Target, and they came up here for a while and then they died. And so there's not a whole lot of stores that have, like, we have Walmart, at least where I am. And other than that, like, if you want to go buy toys, you actually do need to go to Toys R Us a little bit more. Like, they actually have more of a purpose. Whereas down there, I mean, at least my experience has been in the States that if you want to buy toys, there is an abundance of places to buy toys down there. So.
Yeah, I was actually thinking about the whole Animal Crossing Amiibo thing the other day. And is this just a case of even the collectors didn't want them, or did Nintendo think that their game would sell so well that they made more Amiibo than was necessary, or was it a combination of both?
Animal Crossing, the New Leaf, I don't know, was Amiibo Festival the original plan for the Amiibo, or was New Leaf the original plan?
Amiibo Festival, I think, was first, and then
They were idiots.
In. Right.
I mean, they made way too many.
Yeah, they had Smash, was it. Smash. Well, they had the Smash. The premise ones.
Behind your theory there, Jesse, is that there had to be a game made.
Which they have. I think even Arlo, was it Arlo that had a new thing this week that he basically was just like, since the initial,
right.
Since the initial Smash Brothers line, they have not delivered on that since, right? Like,
and that's what we've been saying for 3 years.
Yeah. Like, since then, they have not delivered on a.
And let's be honest, Zach, you posted something. I think you commented on something or something, like, where somebody like had said something about Amiibo or put up a picture of a complete Amiibo collection.
Oh, yeah.
I'm so glad that I got out. Here's the deal.
It's like freaking
and,
Nom,
and this
dude.
Is I'm gonna be brutally honest. Yeah. And I'm just throwing this out of here.
You regret your life.
Nintendo has never delivered on the Amiibo concept.
No, they haven't.
They haven't.
Well, I think.
I mean, here's my belief on it. Nintendo has never delivered on a solid reason on why I need an Amiibo. I need one. Okay.
Yeah.
Like they've never given me a reason to solidly need one. They've given me reasons to want one, but they've never given me a reason to need one. And that's why that market has cooled off.
Mm-hmm.
We as Nintendo fans have said that we need them because we went through so many years without good Nintendo collectibles. Right?
Mm-hmm.
That when Amiibo came out and they looked as good as they did.
Like the old Club Nintendo rewards.
Yeah, and they were cool, and they, you know, they did have that level of collectability about people lost their freaking minds about them.
Yeah.
But I have a three-tiered storage bin full of Amiibo that do nothing.
Yeah.
And now I cannot get rid of them.
Yeah.
Chris White in the chat says, spoilers. No company has delivered on the Toys R Life concept.
I think actually.
Chris White is just like, I love you, bro, but man, you were just bitter about Toys to Life. Just let it go, man. Skylanders was fun to play with my kid when he was into it.
I spent way too much money now.
If you want to talk about a company that didn't deliver on Toys to Life, let's talk about Disney Infinity.
Oh, yeah, dude, that was bad. Let's not do that, though. All right.
We've gone places we didn't need to go. I'm sorry.
That's hurtful. All right. Let's get into what we've been playing, shall we?
That's what happens when you only have three line items for news.
I know, right? Yeah, you're welcome, everybody.
It's been a slow week.
All right. Let's get into what we've been playing.
Do it.
All right. And what we've been playing, I have not really been playing very many games lately. Actually, sorry to disappoint everybody, but I really haven't. It's been kind of a weird, you know, I've been very busy getting work started and everything, but so it has been a weird time. It has been weird to not play very many games, and I guess as far as things I actually have played, I played the Lode Runner Legacy demo, which was Lode Runner. If you've ever played Lode Runner before, it's Lode Runner, so there's that.
I don't think I played that game in 30 years.
I know, right? And then I saw it on the eShop for a demo, and I was like, dude, I'll do that. So it is literally, it is exactly what you would expect. It's Lode Runner.
And you still, like, if you fall more than three boxes, do you still die?
I don't know. That's
because that used to be the thing. It frustrated me so bad. I was like, you know, Mario can fall off a freaking cloud in the sky and like bounce on a Goomba and be fine. Lode Runner falls, you know, 10 feet and it's like, game over.
Yeah. And it's funny because it totally looks like Tron, like the sort of the character design, everything about it. So, that's kind of fun.
Gotcha.
I've also been getting back into Splatoon. I have been enjoying that. I actually realized I still haven't beaten the single player campaign, but I have been playing some more multiplayer. I'm like level 14 now, which I didn't realize. That's only how much I'd played. Game is still really fun, and I feel like the game they have done a lot to add some cool new stuff to the game. I have also found that I don't know if this is true, but it feels like what's the mode called? The horde mode. Crap. The
Salmon Run.
There you go. I feel like Salmon Run is available way more often now. I don't know if that's true, but it feels like it.
It is. I think they've adjusted that a little bit.
So that's nice. And
I love that Splatoon, is for me, it feels very drop in, drop out.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like I can go periods of a couple of weeks or a month without playing it. And then I play it. And within 5 to 10 minutes, I'm kind of back in my rhythm with it. But man, I like at this point, with Splatoon, like, I wish that Nintendo, like, in the tutorial,
yeah,
you know, that, like, is mandatory at the beginning of the game. I think there needs to be another mandatory tutorial at the beginning of multiplayer.
Mm.
And it basically needs to go something like this. There needs to be, like, a big flashing red screen that is very annoying, and it says this: the object of this game is not to kill the other team.
Seriously. Well, it's like
all I'm gonna say, because, like,
you'll play with Call of Duty.
Yeah, it's not Call of Duty. Like, you'll play with people, and, like, I will just watch them, and they will not lay a single line of ink, and they will just charge toward the enemy, and I'm like, oh my gosh, this is gonna be bad.
Yeah.
It's kind of like Leroy Jenkins. It's kind of like that video. You know, it's like, oh, he is.
Oh, Leroy, where are you going, man?
You
got to
go back him up, and then you die, and then they're like, you know. I'm so glad there's no voice chat in this game.
Yeah.
There should also be another disclaimer that says, if someone is inking a certain direction, you know, like, if I'm over here and I'm spraying back and forth, and I'm getting, like, the left side heading out that way, it is not necessary for you to follow along and shoot in the same place that I'm shooting.
Yeah. So, like, no,
I've got it. I got it.
I got this, bro. Yeah, dude. That's.
I had to start over, though, because, you know, I had the European copy.
Oh, that's right. Yeah.
And I wanted to play American Splatfest, and it would not let me do it. It was region locked,
which is still crazy to me.
So, like, I was playing, like, I couldn't play some of the, I missed a couple of the good ones. And so when I downloaded a North American copy, I thought, well, all my progress, it's just save data, right? I mean, it's just gear and levels and stuff. It'll move over. It did not.
Honestly, Nintendo, what, like, seriously, that still bothers me that, like, and again, similar to, like, what happened with Justin too, with they have advertised this system as multi-platform. Not multi-platform. It says region free. It's not region free at all. Like as far as you can have multiple, like, that, there is a difference between being region free entirely and, like, the, you know, free of region issues. That is not the same as, like, being able, like, to use multiple.
I just want to know what the difference is between like North American and European versions of Splatoon. Like, is it just, like, somewhere there's an unnecessary U in there?
Yep. Well, I mean, because the Canadian version would be like that too. So no, I think that it's just, there's Germans, and there every once in a while you get a inkling with a beret on, and I don't know.
Oui.
I don't know. That is the extent of my European.
I don't get, like, I can understand the Japanese version, like, the text being in Japanese, and it is. Because I read on Reddit, somebody purchased it early, like, cause they were so excited for it, and they thought it was region free, and they bought the Japanese version since it released, like, you know, 12 hours ahead of time. And yeah, it was
that's amazing, dude. Yeah. But I mean, I think maybe part of it might actually be that just even that there is an option to have different languages, you know, that could be an issue too. So anyway, so that's Splatoon 2. I've been playing that. I've also been playing Kirby Star Allies. My son beat the game. I have not beaten it, but it is. My son loves it. My son thinks it's great. And we played a little multiplayer. We played some. With the different characters
the boss rush mode.
No, the one that's basically, like, where it's not a different mode, it was just the downloadable characters or whatever that you could get.
Oh yeah, yeah.
Which was kind of fun, just to have, like, the weird characters,
the extra friends or something.
Yeah, the star, I think, is that what they call, they're not star, that's, those aren't star
dream
allies.
dream friends,
that's the one.
That's it. I knew there were some friends.
Yeah. You know, one thing I gotta say that, like, on the back end of Star Allies is this: I did not realize that Kirby, the Kirby series, had such a deep and rich lore behind it.
What? I don't know if I'd even agree with that.
You laugh, but there is the next to the last boss in this game, Hines.
Okay.
Is he's a weirdo. Okay, and you'll notice this when you, and like, quite frankly, he's a psychopath. And it's like Kirby games are all sweet and cute up until like the last level every time, and then they like unleash some like demon psychopath space alien freak killer you know on you. And like he goes on this rant that moves so fast that you can't even read it, but it is like pages and pages of text. And it's all about like different races of people, like a magic people and a machine people, and how the machine people banish the magic people and blah, 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 blah. And like, so I'm like, well, I'm going to read up on this. And then I was like, holy shnikes.
Holy.
Is there some deep, crazy Kirby lore out there? Just go look it up.
I will like, definitely look it up.
It is a rabbit hole of the biggest variety.
I am suddenly very excited for this. So, right on, man. What have you been playing, dude?
Well, I've been playing Star Allies. I helped my son beat it, and that was actually the first time that we actually played it together, other than the demo. So, he was struggling with a couple of levels on. Well, he wasn't really struggling with them. He was just, you know, he wanted me to play, and so I had already beat it.
Mm-hmm.
So we went back and basically finished the last part of level 4 and the final battle, and had a ton of fun with it. We've been playing some of the rush mode, like the boss rush mode.
Mm-hmm.
Very, very Smash Brothers inspired in that, like, you set your difficulty on a slider.
Okay.
And it's how much hot sauce is Kirby adding to his meal?
Oh, wow. Okay.
And so, like, it goes up, and, like, you know, like, it gets to a certain point, and it won't go past that until you beat it.
Mm-hmm.
And so each one adds, like, more bosses. So, like, the first one, it can be, like, you know, amateur tour or whatever it's called, or you know, bland tour, and it's, like, 4 bosses. And then the next one's 6, and then the next one's 8. Or 10. And, you know, so you go through those, and like, you start out and you get to pick all 4 of the people on your team, and you can pick Kirby, or you don't have to, and you can pick any of the dream friends, or you can pick any of the powers.
Mm-hmm.
And so, like, once you beat like a couple of the stages, you unlock the ability to use those extra dream friends. So we had like a team with like Kirby with the sword ability, Meta Knight, and then King DDD and the suplex ability, you know, the big bug.
Yeah.
And it was a whole lot of fun. It was, and I really enjoy that mode. But I've also been playing a game that released last week on the eShop called Devious Dungeon. And it is a 2D retro inspired dungeon crawling platform. I know it makes you want to throw up in your mouth right now.
Why?
It's by Rattalaika
Games. Every freaking game. Anyway, sorry. Indies.
And so if you've played like League of Evil, it's kind of in the same vein, except in this one, you're like a barbarian type dude who's going into the dungeon to, you know, free the princess or do whatever. And at first it looks like I was really interested because I thought it was a roguelike, right?
Mm-hmm.
I thought that this was one, and it does have randomized levels, but I thought that like each time you play, you would have to build him up, you know, and see how far you could get. But actually what happens is you go in and you start and you have like a blunt stick and no armor, and it drops you in this dungeon in level 1, and you go through a real short tutorial, and then you start progressing through the levels. And as you do, you get money. There's achievements that you can get. There's also missions that you'll do, like when you've beaten so many treasure, like when you've beaten open so many treasure chests, you get extra money, or whatever. And like the levels, you know, you have to go through and you have to find a key to unlock the door at the end of the stage to go to the next part of the dungeon.
Mm-hmm.
After every 3 or 4 levels, you get to stop by this thing called Olaf's. Which is
there's a snowman, right? Is that no number?
Yeah, there's a snowman. Yeah.
Oh, you want voiced by Josh Gad. Anyway.
No, it's a, he's like a wandering merchant. Okay. And so you can upgrade your weapon or your armor, or you can upgrade, like you can buy rings or amulets to put on that will upgrade your dexterity and your strength and your hit points. And the reason for that is that, like, as you play through the game, you also, like, you get experience based on all the enemies you defeat and the items you find.
Like,
so you'll level up as well. So, like, you'll be, like, in the middle of a level, and boom, you'll level up, and you'll either pick dexterity or strength or HP.
Mm-hmm.
And immediately you'll get, like, a bonus for that. You know, you'll have more power. You'll be able to do more critical hits, or you'll get more hit points, and they'll, like, refill your HP. Because, and this is important, because if you die in the middle of a level, instead of starting all over, I mean, you do start all over, but when you go through the first door, you can choose which level you want to start with. So every time you get to Olaf's, the next level, it would be the level you would start at, right? Mm-hmm. So, like, you can either start at level 1, or you can start at level 4, or level 10, or the boss level, or a more advanced level. And so and when you die, you get achievements based on, like, how well you play the game, like how many enemies you killed, how long you stayed alive, different things like that. And they give you money so that you can go and buy more upgrades and get farther the next time. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Cool. And so, this was provided as a review copy for us, and I've slacked off. I haven't done any research on this to see how much it is, but I'm going and looking it up right now. But it's super fun, like, because it does, like, if you've heard me on the show any, you know I love 2D platforming, you know I love roguelikes. So it's kind of scratching both of those itches, but it does it in a way that, like, it's bite-sized. Like, I can play a little bit of this now and then come back later on, right? Mm-hmm. The first dungeon had 14 levels in it. Yeah. And so I could play a couple and then save it and quit and come back. Right now on the Nintendo eShop, this is $6.79.
Hmm.
And so, like, I totally recommend it. It's a promotional price, actually, that lasts until next Monday, and then it becomes more expensive. And okay. They list here are the features of the game: level randomization, 5 worlds, 68 levels, slay monsters and collect loot, lots of weapons and gear, RPG styled upgrades, boss battles, mission system, and achievements.
Mm-hmm.
So if you're looking for that type of thing, and you want a game that you can kind of just dive into, play a quick bit, and then leave for a while, come back, You pick up where you left off. This is a great example. Although I fear a lot of people will kind of skip on it.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the reasons is because if you have played League of Evil, it's kind of just like a medieval version of that.
Yeah.
But still fun, and still I would say still worth your money before it goes up to $9.99, which is probably what I think it will go up to.
Yeah. Yeah.
But other than that, I'm like you. I haven't had a whole lot of time to play this week mm-hmm. at all.
Yeah. Jesse, what about you, man?
Yeah, I'm kind of in the same boat. Most of my playing has been, continuing on with Pick-A-Pix Deluxe with those DLC packs. Whenever I get, like, 5 or 10 minutes break from work, can take it out, push a few buttons, and then put it back to sleep. But I won't talk about anymore about that.
Mm-hmm.
One game that I did try, and try is the definitive word here, mm-hmm. is the Arcade Archives Punch-Out.
Oh yeah, that's right. I'm excited to hear about your take on this, because
this kind of came out of nowhere, because it released on Friday last week. It was not part of the Nintendo Downloads press release that came out on Thursday.
Mm-hmm.
So I saw Dan Koopman's posting videos and pictures about it. So I'm like, oh, okay. He must have an early copy. We're going to get it next week. And nope, it came out the next day. And I remember trying to play it as a kid in the arcade, and I had no idea what I was doing. Mm-hmm. Of course, this was before the NES and before I knew how to play that type of Punch-Out. So I go to this, and yeah, I still have no idea what I'm doing because it's not the same thing. So I'm wanting to maybe read some like walkthroughs or watch videos of people playing it to try to find out what it exactly it wants me to do. But I tried doing I posted a video on Twitter of me just getting my butt kicked by Glass Joe. But I was playing it in Tate mode, so the video came out sideways.
Oh, yeah. That'll do it.
I had no clue. I don't know how this escaped me, but I had no clue that this was an arcade game.
Really?
Oh, yeah, I knew it. Yeah, I remember it being like the old Chuck E. Cheese's back in the day.
I have never seen an arcade cabinet with Punch-Out in it. And yeah, if I did, I most likely assumed it was just the NES version, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, no, you know this. So the arcade I'm came first.
Like I'm definitely want to pick this one up. But like you saying that you, and it's not just you; it's other people who have said I have absolutely no clue what to do. I did read somebody say that you know in Punch Out for the NES, you only have to block a certain way, like you have to push up. To block up and then it blocks down automatically. What I read was that you have to block both manually.
Right.
In this game.
And like the NES, at least early on, you're able to put like combo a chain of punches, like, you know, 7 or 8 long. And I don't think they have that here. So I'm not sure exactly what I'm supposed to be doing with it yet.
Hmm.
Yeah. So. And those Arcade Archives games don't always have the best directions.
They have just as many directions as the arcade itself did.
Yeah. Yeah. And it's, I mean, and that too. And that like the menus are pretty hard to navigate to even find anything.
That I agree. It took me a while to figure out how to even flip the screen. And of course it doesn't give me the option of how I want it flipped. It only gave me one way or the other. And I wanted it to flip the other way for Tate mode because in order to get it to work, I had to slide my switch into my grip, you know, so the volume controls were not visible. And in fact, while I'm sliding it into my grip, I'm pushing down, I'm lowering the volume. So I have to take it out just to bring it back up again.
So... I mean, you did have to figure out that you had to press the button to add the quarters, right?
Well, yeah, because that's always been that way.
I
don't understand why that bothers you because it's an arcade game, and it's an emulation of an arcade game.
Because you don't need to emulate putting in quarters.
But
that's a wasted and unnecessary gesture.
No, but the thing is,
that's part of the programming. The programming that's how it knows to give you credit.
Yeah, like that's part of how the game was coded. You can't you would have to go and edit the code. Well, that's the thing is that then it's not an emulation anymore. Then it's not part of that. Then it's a totally remaster version of the game.
Have you never played MAME?
You're gonna call being able to press start to start the game a remaster?
No, yeah, well, because you are changing the code of the game, right? So I don't know if you want to call it, but it is no longer the original version of the game.
Call it non-annoying edition,
dude. I'm just gonna say it like this is like the worst first world problem I've ever heard of.
I know it is. Go ahead and say it. I don't care. I don't want to press the R button to add coins. I'm sorry.
No, it's okay.
Start the dang game.
All right.
I'm going to pick this up just so that I can be frustrated with it. That's what I'm going to do because I hate my life.
Is it good though? Like, is it compared to other punch outs? Is it better or worse than NES punch out?
If I knew what I was doing, it'd probably be pretty equivalent, you know, because you know this is where a lot of the characters from the NES and the Super Nintendo version originally came from, like the Bald Bull. There's the Piston Hurricane. There's even other characters that hasn't made it to the consoles.
Is this the one where they didn't change him to be Soda Popinski?
Not yet. I think
he's Vodka Drunkinski.
I think so.
No way, dude. That's great.
Sold!
Now you're speaking my language.
The question is, can you get that far?
Is the final boss Mike Tyson?
I'm sure it isn't.
Or is it Mr. Dream?
I don't know. I actually don't know. In fact, I didn't even know what the end boss of the Wii version was until like years later when I was watching videos about it, because I never got that far.
I love the Wii version. I wish they'd remake one for Switch.
Yeah. All right. You know what?
You got arms control.
Oh, you know what? Oh, actually, that would have been a great character in Arms, just like to have Little Mac in there. I would have loved that. I welcome that. I think in the sequel they need to have Little Mac and give him like make him, I don't know, like,
you want him to have stretchy arms?
Give him stretchy. You know what they could do is actually have his stretchy arms basically be just like the wire frame, the green wire frame. Yeah, that's what they should do, right? Where it's almost more of like a, it's almost more of like a mesh kind of thing that just stretches out. Not like a coiled thing, but just more of like a, yeah, that's what they should do there. You know what? In the amount of time that it took me to say that, I bought the game. So there you go.
There you go. You know what I think would be cool $8. Is if they buried the wireframe Lil Mac in the game, like Reptile in Mortal Kombat.
Yeah.
And you had to do certain things to find him and fight him. And that's all you could do.
Man, fight him. Good old days, man. That's what that is right there. That is just like back in my day, we had to input in random codes in order to get the cool character.
Back in my day.
Not your credit card number?
Oh, ooh, yeah. Touche. Yes.
Yeah, it's just there. A different code now that we have to put in.
Yeah, it's called what is the code on the back of your credit card called? I don't know.
The CVV.
Yeah, that's what you have to put in now. So, all right. Well, anything else, Jesse?
No, that's all I've been playing.
Right on. All right. Well, let's get into, finally, we've got one listener mail here, so let's get into that.
Stupid kids.
All right. And that's the new
Wobble Puffet. Wobble Buffet.
That's, I was hoping that one would at least come up at some point.
Yeah, there you go. We can't forget, right? I mean, like, you don't give up the old one just because we got a new one.
You don't just tear the roots out, right?
Yeah, I mean, you gotta know where you came from. If 8 Mile taught me anything, I actually haven't seen that movie, but I understand that.
Mom's Spaghetti.
Yeah. If 8 Mile taught me anything, it's Mom's Spaghetti. Of course, listener mail brought to you by our wonderful friends over at oneupbox.com. Use the code NintendoDads over there, by the way, and get $3 off your first box, and they will send us money too. So look at that. You save money, we get money. Everybody gets money, and you get a box of stuff. So, I mean, I don't understand how you could possibly.
Boxes of stuff are good.
Boxes of stuff and things, man. That's what I have to say.
Stuff and things.
Stuff and things. I don't know what that means. Okay, so we've got an email here. And, of course, if you want to email the show, nintendodads@gmail.com. All right, so we've got one email here. It's a little bit of a doozy, but we will read it nonetheless. Although we also will request, in general, the shorter your email, the quicker or the more likely we will be able to get it on the show sooner. This email has sat here for a while because it is a little bit longer, but we appreciate all the feedback from the listeners.
This is a new one.
What? Oh, is it? Oh, yeah, maybe there was guys did that other long one last week. Okay, never mind.
Yeah, we did it last week, but yeah, that sat in the dock for like 5 weeks.
Okay, so if we read this too soon, then maybe your people are going to learn their lessons. I don't know. Anyway, with that, everybody, thanks for listening to Nintendo Dads. No, just kidding. So I can read this. It says, this is from TJ Shytower.
And he even was kind enough to tell us how to pronounce that name.
Yeah, because
he was afraid that I would read his name.
Is that it?
You know what? And the fact that it is Shy Tower, because you know that you probably would have moved that T to the first syllable if you hadn't have. So so that's good. That I appreciate that. Okay, so I'll read this. It says, "Hello, I just discovered the show a few weeks ago and really enjoyed it. On episode 173, you read an email about how the Switch's adaptability allowed a new father to rediscover gaming. I would like to add my own story with regards to the new possibilities the Switch's form factor has created. My wife."
And that's that long email that we were talking about.
But... yeah. Oh, yeah. That's right. See, okay. And, you know, I'll take it back a little bit. If you got, like, cool stories and stuff, then we welcome those, especially. Yeah. I take it back. But they're also a little bit harder to squeeze in, depending on what's going on. Having said that, back to the email. My wife and I are both high school teachers. We sponsor a Nintendo Switch club. While a lot of students go to the more mainstream and popular clubs, we have around 50 students who meander to my classroom. These students are a bit of social outcasts. They typically don't have a lot of friends. They are often overlooked. Several have autism and struggle with the atmosphere of a public high school. However, everything changes when our club period begins. The Switches come out in an instant, and an instant community is formed. Splatoon 2, Mario Kart, Rocket League, etc. matches begin. Soon you hear, "Great game, how did you pull that move off?" Another round, the kids feel comfortable. They feel unstoppable. They feel like they are an important part of something bigger than themselves, and they are. It's awesome. This community has extended beyond the classroom. Kids gather in the library before class begins to play Switch together. They high-five in the hallway. They schedule times to meet either in person or online to play together. They don't care if other kids have something negative to say. I now have a waiting list for students to get into the club. None of this would have been possible without the Switch's form factor. Kids couldn't lug around TVs and PlayStations or Xboxes in a backpack. The 3DS has been around, but the quality of local gameplay wasn't the same. It's awesome how the Switch allows gaming and the camaraderie that comes with it permeate previously untouchable facets of life. Keep up the great work with the podcast, TJ Shytower. That is awesome. I
love this story.
I love this idea. And I think, honestly, my first response is, you know what else makes this possible is the amazing teachers who are putting this on for these guys. Like, yeah. Holy crap. That is amazing,
yeah, like,
to me.
Like, honestly, was listening to this and thinking, where were you when I was in high school?
Right? Yeah.
Where were teachers like you when I was in elementary school and getting made fun of because I used to sit and read my Nintendo Power magazines and trace pictures of Mega Man on the tracing paper?
Yeah.
From them.
Yeah, dude.
Like if somebody had just been there to say, what you like is normal.
Yeah, it's okay to like what you like.
You know, that it would have made things so much better. Dude, you are doing, your wife and you are doing such
awesome work. I love it. It's amazing. And I mean, here's the thing is that they would be doing this with something else if it wasn't the Switch. You know, doing, I don't know, something else. Because they seem like the kind of people who are looking for that kind of opportunity to help kids like that. But I think that in particular... yeah, the Switch, I mean, to say that as well, the Switch, definitely there is that form factor as well, right? Like, to be able to come in and play games together. I think that it's, especially for kids who are a little bit more socially awkward, video games, I think, you know, I think a lot of times people demonize video games because they can be overdone and, you know, kind of like distract from social interaction and things like that. If not in the right setting, like granted, but I think that they also serve as a really great buffer between, because a lot of kids who are socially anxious or adults for that matter, having a video game between you or a board game, frankly, right. Tabletop role-playing games are used a lot for kids who are socially awkward as well. And anything like that, that is a little bit of a buffer between you and the person sitting next to you, just puts you at just enough of it, you know, puts you at ease enough to feel comfortable for those kids. Right. And then they're able to over time, get more comfortable with the person across from them But in the meantime, you know, they're having a good time. They're having fun. And yeah, that's great. That's super cool. And the portability and, I mean, the games library, I mean, that all is a big part of it too. So very cool. I don't know. What are your guys' other thoughts with this?
I just like, I love the detail that he put there, that there is a waiting list to get into this club.
Mm-hmm.
And that these kids are finding camaraderie outside of the club as well. Like it is built a community outside of that room, you know. Yeah. And it's bringing people in.
Yeah.
And that, like, that's a huge win for me.
Yeah.
When it comes to video games, because, like, I mean, I homeschool my kids, but if my son was going to high school, that's the kind of high school teacher that I would want him to have.
Mm-hmm.
Because he's going to, bless his heart, he's going to go and he's going to talk about Minecraft and the Switch and all kinds of other stuff. And that the fact that there's somebody there who is an authority figure, who they look up to, who understands that and who wants to facilitate that,
mm-hmm.
is huge.
Absolutely. It's huge. Yeah.
Good job. Good job, TJ Shytower.
Very cool.
You're an honorary Nintendo dad. I don't know. Did he mention he was a dad?
I don't know, but he is a father type figure to those kids though. So you can,
yep.
You can be in that. Sure.
You're an honorary member of the Nintendo dads.
Yeah.
Right, kind of piggyback about talking about the Switch's form factor. Yeah. I mentioned this on the Retro Rewind, which I recorded yesterday, but will go out after this goes out. So, but, I was saying as I was trying to find the time to play Final Fantasy VI, I realized if this was on the Switch, I would be so much farther into the game because I can play for 5 or 10 minutes and then put it away and I'm done. Versus, especially with me doing it as a stream, if I didn't have 2 hours that I knew I would be uninterrupted, I couldn't play it.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Dude. I honestly, just this morning, I woke up. Was it this morning that they announced the release date for the Spider-Man PS4 game?
Yes.
This was my
yesterday.
This was my train of thought was, oh man, I finally need to get a PS4. I really want to play that Spider-Man game. Wait a minute, PS4 isn't portable. I'd actually have to sit down in front of my TV to play it. Crap, that sucks. I also was thinking of maybe getting an iPad or something. Price is about the same. I'm not paying like $500 just so that I can, you know, play one game. Screw that. Like I talked myself out of it because it's not portable and I want to play that game so bad, but I do not want to be tied to my TV anymore. That's not even in the cards for me anymore. So, it's totally changed things for me. So yeah. All right. Any other thoughts, gentlemen? All right, cool. Well,
I just want that Spider-Man game to come to Switch, yeah. And it never will.
Oh, it never will. Yeah, no. It has about as much of a chance to come to Switch as Bayonetta 3 has going to PS4.
So, touché.
Yeah. So, with that, Marty, we've got some news. You know, I think that wraps up the show here. We got some news for
we do.
Retro Rewind.
We want to thank Jesse and the members of the Nintendo Directors for being on this month's Retro Rewind recap in Final Fantasy 3-6, whichever one you want to call it. And I know they did a great job with that. I'm excited to hear it on Sunday. But because that has recorded last week on the show, we promised that this week's show we would reveal the two games that we would be voting for or against to play in the upcoming Retro Rewind. And I'm happy to announce that we've already talked about one of those games. The first one was Arcade Archives Punch-Out that you can download on Nintendo Switch right now. The second of those games, one of my top 10 games of all time, Super Castlevania IV, which is available on the SNES Classic. It's also available on the Wii U and the 3DS Virtual Console.
Nice.
So plenty of options out
only
there.
Only on new 3DSs.
Oh, only on new 3DSs. That's because exactly right. Good reminder. It will. Yeah. It's also available on new 2DS XL as well, if you're playing on that. Right. So the poll for that will be up tomorrow morning, and we will vote for roughly about a week and then take a month to play it. So vote for Super Castlevania 4.
Or vote... Yeah, just go vote. Regardless of what you're going to do.
Just go vote. Go vote. Just go vote, really.
Yeah.
It's going to be fantastic.
Yeah, right on. And so awesome. So, and again, thank you to all of our patrons for making that possible. You guys are amazing and wonderful, and we could not do this without you. All right. And as well, huge thank you to everybody, gentlemen, for being on the show. Of course, if you guys want to, first off, huge thanks to our Patreon producers, Chris Mears, Dave Ernsberger, and Timothy Alf. You guys are superstars. You guys are, that is what you are. I don't know. Anyway, I was going to go into some weird. If you want to follow us on all the social medias, you can do so on Twitter, Facebook, or Instagram at NintendoDads. You can email us, NintendoDads@gmail.com. If you want to watch our faces or our video games, Twitch or YouTube, look for NintendoDads and you will find us. Voicemail is 929-25-NDADS, 929-256-3237. Huge thanks to OC Remix for our music throughout the show, as well as to both Carter Johnson and Adam Lettern for our amazing artwork. And, of course, if you want to change the world, you can go to iTunes, leave us a 5-star review. Written reviews are even better, and if you want to subscribe, you can go to iTunes, Stitcher, Google Play, and of course, VGTribune.com for me, for Jesse, for Marty, and for the Irish Justin, who's doing stuff. You're in our hearts, Justin. We'll see you next time. Bye-bye.
Nintendo Dads.
But I have never touched a boy. Oh. And I want to so bad.
Wobble Puffet? Wobble Buffet?
Alright, there you go. Oh,
you didn't use stupid kids again. Oh well. Stupid kids.
There you go.